is here and you can touch Him. I'm glad that we have a salvation we can feel. And it's not a hope so, not a maybe so, but it's a no so salvation. We appreciate that from the Lord and what the Lord can do in an individual's life. Appreciate you being here. Appreciate, again, I want to second that brotherhood. Appreciate Brother Jamie this afternoon. And talking about the armor of God, the waist belt. And what a blessing that was. And what a blessing he is. And I said, Brother Jamie, you stick out like a sore thumb at Calvary. And hey, we're supposed to stick out like sore thumbs. And so appreciate Brother Jamie I'm trying to find a word to put it. What God has given you, brother, and the humility, all of it, and it speaks volumes. Appreciate all the young people on the same token and being here tonight. And we love all of you. Let's take our Bibles tonight, and we're going to start in Romans chapter number 10. You got me again. Romans chapter number 10, and our starting point is going to be verse number 9, Romans chapter number 10, and this morning we looked at some things from a little word, that is the word but. Of course, we coupled that word with God, and we looked at some areas in God's Word where God butts in. And know that God has a way of butting in concerning salvation. How He changes our course. Changes several things about a person's life. And then we know that God, He has a way of butting in during times of suffering. Talked about Joseph and everything he went through, but Genesis chapter 50 verse 20, ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And then of course we looked at the area of service and how that David wanted to build the temple, wanted to build God's house, but yet God chose Solomon. And how that many times in life we have our own ideas, preconceived ideas of how we think things should go in any element of life, because sometimes we think we know what God's next move is because He's done things similarly in the past. But God shows us in His Word, even then, out of those particular verses, but God, He chose Solomon to build. And then we looked at the fact that over in the book of Acts, when they took Jesus down from the tree, the scriptures say, next verse, but God raised Him from the dead. Amen. And so when it comes to God's Word and reading God's Word, every word is inspired and God breathed. We said that every jot and every tittle of God's Word is inspired. In fact, in Matthew 5, verse number 18, you don't have to turn there, but I'll give it to you. The Bible says, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot and one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. We know that a jot is the dot above an I or above the stroke of the pen. That's the jot. And then a tittle is a swipe of the pen, which you get the letter T. And we know that every jot and every tittle, every verse and every word in God's Word is God breathed and inspired and powerful. Amen. And it is meant for us. And so we started this morning looking into the little word, but. And tonight I want to look at another little word. Not just the word but I want to look at the word tonight, if. The word if. Now, as the word but. The word but has many times, as we said this morning, when we use it in our regular language, we say things such as, I love you but I don't like your attitude. And so that kind of erases the I love you. But when we say that, you know, I don't like your attitude, but I love you, it really emphasizes the love part, de-emphasizes the attitude part. And so it's a connecting word. But tonight I find another word, and that's the word if. And it's also a connecting word. Now, again, I want to talk about the word if tonight. And like the word but, and it's a small word, very important. The word if, listen to this. The word, the two-letter word if in God's word primarily deals with us conditionally. It's a condition word. If. If. Deals with us conditionally. While the word but deals with us and has to do with us providentially. Joseph was in the pit. Joseph was sold into slavery. Joseph was imprisoned. But God meant it for good. Has to do with providence. Has to do with God's intervention. But the word if is a conditional word. And in the pages of God's word, you'll find that little word, if, many, many times. In fact, nearly 200 times the word if is mentioned in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the word if has to do with, on the same token, responsibility on God's behalf when you see the word if in most cases. The word if has to do with the responsibility of God. As with us, the word if has to do with decision, has to do with conditions. In other words, God says He will if we will. Most occurrences of the word if are found in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so tonight I want to look just for a few moments at this little word, if, and look at some of the conditions that's found wrapped up in this word if. In Romans, you're in Romans, look in verse number 9 of chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, listen here, thou shalt be saved. This is a conditional verse. And it all has to do with the word if. God here is saying, if you will, I will. And so He's saying that if you will acknowledge me as the one who came and bled and died and that was buried on the third day was who He rose again, if you accept that, if you accept, if you confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, as the scriptures say, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, God will do His part. Thou shalt be saved. You see, this is a conditional verse. Now, this morning we mentioned, but God, and we mentioned out of Ephesians chapter number 2, but God hath quickened us. And we mentioned that God butts in the area of salvation, but God only butts in the area of salvation if we allow Him to. Now, November 19th, 2002, that was my iffy day. That was the day that I called upon the Lord and I did my part by calling upon Him and He did His part by saving me. And I hope that everybody here tonight is saved, and if you are saved, then you can give your testimony of the day that you got saved where you met that condition and called out to Jesus for salvation. You see, we're dealing with the little word if. And that word if is found several times. And tonight we see it's found in the area of salvation. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now I want to move on to a second word. I got five words tonight. So there's the word salvation. That pertains to the word if. But then there's the word servant that pertains to the word if. We're in Romans chapter 10. Turn to the left to Matthew chapter number 16 for a moment. Matthew 16. Matthew 16 and verse number 24, I want you to notice here what Jesus says. Matthew 16 in verse number 24. He says in Matthew 16 in verse number 24, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if," notice that, it's a connecting word, "then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me." Very familiar verse. But I think sometimes we can overlook these little words, because the word "if" is a conditional word. And Jesus is saying, if you are going to follow me, there is a cost following me. There is a price to follow me. A lot of people think, well, I'll just bow my head and say, "Lord, just, now I'll lay me down to sleep." A lot of times people just say that. "Praise the Lord, my soul to keep." And they think that they know God, and there's no cost in following him. Well, true salvation, someone who has truly accepted Jesus, knows that there is a cost to follow him. Our joy can be filled, as he says in John 15, "Abide in me and I'll abide in you, that your joy may be full." You see, while no man or the world can take away our joy, our fellowship can dissolve. Not our position with God, we belong to him, but our communion and our fellowship and the maximum of our joyful experience as a Christian, it can leak. It can leak. Because you see, it all comes down to this "if" word. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." You see, he talks about personal denial here, self-denial. He talks about taking up that cross and taking up that burden and following me. Look in verse number 25. He continues the thought here. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." And so here he actually gives a paradox. And a paradox has to do with two things kind of seemingly contradicting themselves, but they're not. Because he talks about finding your life. Who in here tonight doesn't want to find their life? Who in here doesn't want to find their purpose in life and to know what God has called you to do? Well, when he says in this next verse, verse number 25, he says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it." In other words, you hang on to yourself and you hang on to your own life. It's all about you and it's all about what you want to do. And the Lord is not in the equation like he should be. You're saving your life. He said, you'll lose your life. But he says, "And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." And so I believe these two verses compiled together has to do with self-denial. It has to do with putting Jesus first. It has to do with attending church and reading his word and doing those things we know that we ought to do. But it is conditional. If we want to find our purpose in life, if we want to know what the Lord wants us to do, if we want God's best, we are going to have to deny ourselves. That means deny what we want to do in life. And involve God in the equation. If you're thinking about a specific job, what does God think about that job? If it's a specific hobby you might want to start, what does God think about that hobby? And the best thing for all of us to do, and starting with me, and this is what I do, every morning that I wake up, "Lord, what will you have me to do today?" Yeah. That's immediate involvement. And you'll be surprised when you wholeheartedly ask God what he wants you to do in a particular day, the self-denial that's involved. So we see here the word "if" has to do with serving. Verse number 24, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It's a conditional verse. If we're going to follow Jesus, there has to be self-denial. There has to be, in verse number 25, abandonment to self. Lose ourselves in the ministry. Lose ourselves finding God. I mean, just you're going through a dark time. Trust God. Cast your faith on Him. That's another form of losing yourself and allowing God to find you in that situation. So we see, for whosoever will save his life, verse 25, shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. So we see this if word in serving. We see this if word in salvation. But I want you to look back and actually in the Old Testament and some earlier books. And here we're going to see the area of success. Look in Deuteronomy 11. Deuteronomy 11, verse number 26. The area of success. Who doesn't want to be successful? Who doesn't want to know their purpose? We all do. We all want to be successful at what we do. That is, when we know what we're called to do. But who doesn't want to move on to their purpose and operate out of their purpose? Deuteronomy chapter number 11. Notice, if you would, verse number 26. The Bible says, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing, here it is, if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse, if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known." We know that these verses here in this chapter and much of this book deals with the children of Israel, and it has to do with Canaan land. We know that Canaan land, God's place, had enemies there. We know the Amorites, and we know that there was other gods in that land. And so we know the children of Israel had to constantly fight to enjoy that land. They had opposed all of the false gods, and they had opposed the enemy. They could have worship those false gods and just said, you know, what's the use? We're in God's land, and you know, the land He has promised us, we're not going to fight, we're not going to battle, it's too much, we're just going to become one with the enemy and just wave the white flag, and we're here, but we're a defeated here. And so we see that in verse number 26, this has a lot to do with God's place for God's people. He says, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day." Now we know they were commanded to fight for their land. They were commanded to stand against the giants and fight for their land. They were commanded to oppose the worship of false gods. That's what they were opposed to do. And the Bible says, if you do this, if you fight, if you oppose, if you forge forward to enjoy the blessings of God and what He has for you, you indeed will do that. Verse 26, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day. Go after other gods, which ye have not known." But that still rings true today. We have before us a blessing and a curse each and every day that we live. We have to wake up and say, "Lord, here is the day that you made. I'm going to do the very best I can do because I want your blessing." Now, if we awake every day and say, "Lord, I don't feel like it right now. I may include you later. There's some things that I want to do that I wasn't doing for my church folks." Well, then you have a curse. You see how your day is going to end up. And I'll see how my day is going to end up when I go to do my own agenda. "Well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to spend time with God. I don't want to." You'll see what happens. Your joy will leak. Your closeness with God will repel. And that's the blessing and that's the curse set before all of us in every day. And it has to do with a successful day. Talking about the word if here. Talking about God's land, God's people. Talking about enemies in the land. Talking about the little G gods in the land. Like Joshua said, he said, for him and his house, they will serve the Lord. He gave them three choices that they could go back on the other side of the flood, go back to the way things were. He also said, you can give in to the gods of this land. Just give up and assume they're the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Or you can move on. The same choices today. That blessing and cursing. If we're saved tonight, then we also have a spiritual Canaan. And our spiritual Canaan is not heaven. Our spiritual Canaan is a spirit-filled life. It's joy or minus joy. It's victory or minus victory. Each and every day that we live. And he says in verse number 27, a blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. So there's, when it comes to the word if, there's success here. They're serving, their salvation, all contingent upon the if factor. And then I want to mention this in Psalm 66. Look at Psalm 66 and verse 18 for a moment. We see stifled prayers. Book of Psalms. I can find it here. Psalm 66 and verse number 18. Stifled prayers or stopped prayers. This is also an if factor. Psalm 66, look at verse number 18. First word is if. He says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That is plain as the day is bright. It is written right there. This is a condition. And I believe it's also a condition for the believer. You see, he says, David says, if I regard, if I entertain, if I'm living a double life, God will not hear me. We cannot expect the Lord to show up in power in our life. We cannot expect the Lord to reveal His purposes in our life. All of these things in our life, when we pray for these things, praying for His purposes, praying for His power. But if we're regarding iniquity, if we got things going on over here, habitual, continual sins, I mean, they're habitual. We plan them. I mean, if there's a planning of sin, habitual sin, if there's something we're hanging on to, and yet we're praying for God to help us, if He does, it's pure mercy. It's pure mercy and pure grace. But what David is saying here, he's saying this is a contingent thing. God will if you will. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And listen, that has to do with an unclouded relationship with Jesus. In Isaiah chapter number 1, let me just mention a few things while we're in the Old Testament. Look at Isaiah chapter number 1, or just follow along. Isaiah 1 verse 15, listen to this. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Man, I don't want him to do that to me. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you. Make you clean. Put away the evil doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as the snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I like what he says. He says in verse number 19, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And listen, he goes on and on and on. And he's talking about God's people's prayers. Listen, we cannot live a double life and expect God to bless it. And I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. We're all, you know, home folks, and you know, tonight, Sunday night. I know that. But this is good for all of us to remember that if there ever is a point in time where I think that I got God persuaded, I can fool God. God knows. You know, I'll have my sermon ready on time, and you know, three a week, and you know, I got all this on time, and I got my devotions during the week, and my visits and all. And he won't wink. He'll wink at what I do over here, do over there. Oh no, it'll show. It'll show. And many times, it'll show right here. You know, and it's just something that we learn. We learn that. Of course, we know that His holiness is the target, and we know that our devotion, it takes time for different levels of devotion. We learn how to lean on Him, and we learn not to play with fire because we'll be burned. And so, if anything, God is constructing us into prayer warriors. We're learning what not to do many times. But He's talking, again, to the people of God here in the book of Isaiah, and He says that, when you spread forth your hands, in verse 15, I'll hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. I know this, when I get down to pray, I want to know with assurance in my heart and with a pure mind, not a perfect life, but a pure conscience that I know God is hearing my prayer. Now, what He does with that prayer is up to Him. But I know, Brother Jack, when I come before God, I want to know that I've been doing all I possibly can to live close and clean, because I'm praying to Him and I need His help. And so that's the goal anyway. But we see that the word if is contingent. If I regard iniquity in my heart, He will not hear my prayers. And so David is the same person that prays, search me, O God, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and make me in the way everlasting. Same person, different prayer. And so we see stifled prayers here. But then lastly, I want you to notice a very familiar Old Testament verse, but in 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, in verse 14. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. In the very first word of this verse is the word if. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, and here it is, they will, I will, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. In the Old Testament, really, in the world's existence, you'll find, especially in the Bible, you'll find that God judges sin one or two ways, if not both. He uses famine, but He also uses war to judge sin. And I believe not only is He talking to God's chosen, He's talking to Israel here, talking to the Jewish people, but He's also talking to God's people. And He says, and it's contingent, this is not contingent on the world. This is contingent on the church. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Talking about healing of the land. I wonder if God's judgment is upon our land in the day and time we live. Famine, wars, rumors of wars, and all of the violence and things that are taking place. You know, I wonder. I just wonder if God has already started judgment upon this land. You know? And it's not the world that's going to be held accountable. It's the church that's going to be held accountable. God's people. And He says, of course, there's another verse over in it's either 1 or 2 Peter talking about judgment must first begin at the house of the Lord. He says, if my people which are called by my name And he tells us to humble ourselves, to pray, seek his face, and turn from their wicked ways. He says, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. I wonder tonight if the people who make up the church would get serious with God. And I know Calvary is. I know we are. But what if every church did that? If they put aside their differences, if they humbled themselves, if they turned from their wicked ways and got serious about God, I wonder what would happen in America. I wonder who God would raise up. I wonder how the community would be affected. Because you see, the job of the local church is to affect the community in a positive way. And so tonight, we see the if factor here when it comes to supernatural healing of our land. We looked at stopped prayers or stifled prayers. We looked at success. We looked at serving. We looked at salvation. And that's the message tonight. It's just that little word, if. My goal today was basically, this morning I wanted to just magnify and emphasize little words this morning tonight. I wanted to emphasize the word but, and how that God's word connects all kinds of things together through that word. And then tonight, I just wanted to emphasize the word if, and how that through these little words, it just brings about a whole new angle in God's word, how that many things are conditional, but also many things are providential. God just allows them to happen. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for a day like today, God, when God's people are just at your house all day long and Lord, serving and practicing and being edified. And Father, we're thankful for the whole word of God, but those little words, Lord, that jump out and get us. Help us to focus on those little words as well. To know that they're powerful words, they're wonderful words. Wonderful words of life. God, I pray that you'd be with your people this week. Move and work and operate in mighty ways. Help us, Lord, to know that some of these things are conditional. Father, we want your best. And so I pray that you'd bless our efforts in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, and we will go ahead and just pick out a